Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Lord, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day that we can meet together. Lord, let this word that I speak tonight be profitable. Lord, use me as Thy servant. Don't allow this word just to go out and fall to deaf ear. Lord, let us honor and glorify Thy name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 36. Let's start at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the title of the message tonight is The Lord of the Harvest. And we'll be, if you want, you can turn to Matthew 13. We're going to be going through a lot of that. Those of you here that have had gardens and whatnot, you understand what a harvest is. Once the crop that has been planted bringeth forth fruit, you yield the fruit and take that which is good, you take, you save that to eat, and you harvest it. The other that's not good, you cast away. Now that's a physical harvest, an earthly harvest. What the Lord Christ is saying here is talking about spiritual harvest. In order to understand this harvest, we have to start by asking a few questions. And I have six of them in total. Number one, who provided the seeds for this harvest? Number two, who is the sower of the seeds and what makes them grow? Number three, many seeds are planted, but not all yield good fruit. Why? Four, why does the Lord of the harvest speak in parables? That some may understand and others are confounded. Number five, when and what is the harvest? And I'm talking about the true harvest. The one Christ is referring to. And number six, who is the Lord of the harvest? Let's go to Matthew 13, if you're not already turned there, starting in verse 3. Now, this entire chapter 13, the Lord is speaking in parables. And every one of them is about sowing. It's about the seed. And what I like about this chapter is, the first part, he tells the parable. In the latter part of the chapter, he explains it. I won't have to explain this parable because Christ himself answered it to the disciples. So there won't be any misunderstanding what's right. Because Christ depicted exactly what this parable means. Or all the parables mean in this chapter. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the first question presented was, who provides the seeds for the harvest? Well, Genesis 1 tells that God created all things. Every seed, everything was created, everything that exists on this earth, every element, everything, including water, land, animals, and people, both the good and the bad, was created by God. And He has the sovereign right to do with all of His creation as He so sees fit. Both the good and evil seeds are His to do with as He pleases. They're all things are set forth and all things are done out of the counsel of His will. He provided all seeds. Look in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Keep your place in the 13th chapter because we're going to be going back to Matthew 13. In chapter 8, or verse 8, chapter 4. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on their throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, there's no mistake in that last verse. Everything was created for His to do His pleasure. Now, second question, who is the sower of the seeds and what makes them grow? The sower of the seeds are those men sent by God, sent by the Lord to preach the gospel. The gospel which is the word of God, the power of God unto salvation. That's what the sower is. That's what makes the true seed, the elect of God, grow by grace. Through revelation of this word, that's what feeds the elect. That's how we grow in grace. That's where our fruit comes from. That's what makes us able to be harvested. Because if we didn't have Christ, if we didn't have the word, which is Christ, there's no reason for us to be harvested. None whatsoever. Now, these men are to preach to all men and women who will give ear. Because they don't know who the elect, the seed are. They water all seeds. Like if you have a garden, you don't know which one's coming up. But you water and you fertilize the whole garden. Now until that plant comes up, you don't know which one's good or bad. Same way it is with the children of God. Only the good shepherd knows who the elect are. So you're to preach to all. All that will give you ear. But we don't know which ones that God has chosen. The Lord will take care of that. By His Spirit, He will reveal it to them. And when the sheep hear Christ proclaimed, they will be made to hear. The gospel is His voice. And through the revelation of the Spirit, those who are His are made to hear. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. You all don't have to turn there because we're going to be going back. I'll just read this to you. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now these sowers of the seed, they didn't choose this profession. They were elected of God. In Matthew, when it's talking about, if you have time, look in Matthew chapter 10, not right now, but after the service or sometime, he chose all these disciples. They didn't choose to follow Christ. Christ said, put back your belongings, you follow me. And they came because they were chosen of Christ to come. These disciples did not come saying, I want to preach. No, they were chosen. Same as all men today that get up here and preach the gospel of grace. They're chosen of God. No one willingly says they're going to come up here and do this. No. God chooses a people to do this. Marvin, he's a pastor of this church. He preaches week in and week out. He was called to do that. He did not choose that profession. Ask him about 15, 20 years ago if he thought he was called to preach. I guarantee you Marvin will say no. The Lord did something for him, did something in him. It takes a special, peculiar person in order to do that. And God chooses him, elects him, brings him out, sets him forth, and proclaims the gospel and gives him an understanding. It's not easy to prepare a message. I had 2 weeks to do this. It was hard enough. He does 2 messages a week. Soon he's going to do 3. When you do 3 messages a week, you know how hard it is to do that? You can't do it except for the grace of God. It gives you some understanding. They were all called to do what? To preach. Not to proclaim themselves, not to proclaim anything else, to preach the gospel. Preach the good news unto salvation. And at the time the disciples were chosen, they were only permitted to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's because the covenant was made in the Old Testament until after the resurrection. They could only preach to the house of Israel. Now after that, after the resurrection, a new covenant was formed and they could preach not only to Jews but to Gentiles as well. They're commanded to preach to all nations after resurrection. In Matthew 28, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it. 18 to 20. I'm just going to back this up with Scripture. Because you should never believe a word that comes out of my mouth except if it's backed up by Scripture. And that's not just for me. That's for anyone that ever stands up here. In 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Like I said before, they didn't choose this profession. Christ chose them. Any man who says that he chose this profession and he wasn't chosen of God to be here, he's a false prophet and he shouldn't follow. Any man that loves to be up here, I mean, a man can love to proclaim the gospel. I love to proclaim the gospel if God gives me something to say, but I don't love being up here. This is too important. This is the most important thing that can happen in your life is you to hear the gospel. Because if you don't have that, you can have everything in this world, but you'll lose your soul in eternity. Third question. Many seeds are planted, but not all yield good fruit. Why? Well, Christ answers this himself. And we're going to look at that in Matthew 13, verse 18, starting in verse 18. That parable that I just read to you in verses 3 through 9, he answers them. Even the disciples didn't understand. Because see, the Lord Jesus Christ was here. And he revealed it to them because he was here. Now we have another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And only by revelation of the Holy Spirit will we understand. They didn't understand. They heard the words of God. They heard Christ speak these words. And they didn't understand. And he knew they didn't understand. He said, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. They heard the word. They were there. They heard Christ. There's people that sit under churches just like this. There's people that sit in this church. But they won't hear. There's people that sit in this church and they're not here anymore. The reason they're not here anymore is because they didn't hear anything. Because once you've heard this, you got to have it. If the Lord opens your eyes and your ears, you have to hear this. You're hungry for it. You feel terrible if you haven't heard it. You want to hear the gospel of Christ and His work proclaimed. Now some of them, and they heard with their ears and their eyes, but God didn't open up their ears and eyes, and they didn't say a thing. In verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word in Anon with joy receiveth it. Now Anon means at once or immediately. So we can just substitute that in there and say, he heareth the word immediately and with joy receiveth it. And yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. There's people that will sit under the gospel. And when they're in this church and they're talking to other people that have just heard the same message, oh, I believe that's great. I love that message. I believe that message. First time someone outside of this church, or even within this church, questioned them about this gospel, puts hard questions to them, says, that can't be the way it is. Or they get persecuted in life for the gospel's sake. Soon after that, they fall away. They can't take it. Their root wasn't deep. It wasn't made effectual. They're just cast away because they will not take the persecution and they are offended. When people question them, they'll get offended and they'll leave. Verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unprofitable or unfruitful. Unprofitable will be the same thing. Many people will take riches, success, happiness, lack of trouble in this life and not believe the Scripture. Because if you believe the Scripture, most likely you're not going to be successful, not very successful. You're going to have enough, but you can't have the riches of the world. And you'll be so encompassed about the things of this world, the lust, desires of this world, that you'll put your interest in that and not the God of the Bible. You can only have one Lord. You can only worship one thing. You either have the earth or you have the Lord. There's no in between. And we're also unworthy. We can't do it. The only way we can do it is through Christ. But he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And the only reason we understand it is because God reveals it. God uses His Spirit to reveal it to us. Now, the fourth question. Why does the Lord of Harvest speak in parables? That some may understand and others are confounded. Matthew 13:18-23. All right, just read that right before that. In verse 10. And his disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and ye shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, and for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. The disciples heard that first parable, and they didn't understand it. God revealed it to them. If God would not have revealed it to them, they wouldn't have understood the parable. God, by His Spirit, reveals this word. This word is like unto this parable. Many people know. Many people are righteous. Many people are faithful and zealous and read the gospel and know the facts of this Bible. But they don't understand what their standing is by this word. They don't know what God's standing is by this word. Our standing by this word is we're depraved. We were talking about that before church. Someone said it was depraved. We're all depraved. People know the facts. People understand this parable. So I understand what that parable means, but I'm not one of those bad seeds. I'm the good seed. Well, we're all the bad seed, save Christ. And Christ makes us that good seed. And also what we don't understand is Christ has all the glory. Christ has done it all. Paid the sin debt. Has to have all the glory. He paid the sin debt. And God the Father, He rules and reigns. He is sovereign. He's just. He's holy. And sin must be punished. God has chosen the people. To them the word shall be revealed, and to the others that are outside of Christ, they shall be burned up. They shall have their reward. Their so-called free will shall send them straightway to hell. Revelation to them will only come in the day of judgment. Then shall they bow, but it'll all be for naught. All knees will bow. You either bow here on earth and be saved, or you bow in the judgment, and it's too late. You're going to be cast into hell. Doesn't matter if you bow after then, because the harvest is over. The season of repentance is gone, and judgment is here. The harvest season is only for a time. Those of you we were talking before that plant gardens know that after a certain time, you just leave it out there too long, it's going to rot. You know, the harvest season only lasts so long. Well, when the last elect of God is chosen and is revealed to by the Word of God, this whole earth, as we know it now, will be gone and the harvest will be over. The days of repentance will be over. And that comes to the fifth question. What and when is the harvest? And I'm talking about the true harvest. And the Lord explains this in another parable. Matthew 13, starting verse 24. Another parable put ye forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? For whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up, the tares? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles, and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now when it's talking about the tares, that's a weed. That's a false fruit. Now we live, those that are the elect of God, live among tares all of our lives. And we must put up with that. And by the grace of God, we can put up with it. But we will live amongst them all the days of our lives. We will be persecuted for what we believe. We will be ridiculed. We will be called heretics. We will be called all kinds of things, but we will not be called believers. We will not be called elect. Not by other people outside our brethren. You can't believe in a sovereign God in this earth because a man has to have his own free will. Now, the Lord answers this question. The Lord of this harvest is God Almighty. And He answers this fifth question later in this chapter. Let's look at verse 36. And that's what I like about this chapter. There's no question. The Lord Christ answered His parables. And He also made it shown that He had to reveal it to His disciples. They did not understand. In and of themselves, they did not understand. Get that fact clear. We cannot understand in and above ourselves. We have to have it revealed to us. Christ revealed it to them in explanation. Christ reveals it now through His Spirit. It is the other comforter He was talking about. That's our other comfort. By the Spirit of God, He reveals it, opens our hearts and our eyes and our ears. Then Jesus, let's look in 37. Well, in 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and His disciples came unto Him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field, because they didn't understand. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, the elect of God. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. So that prayer is relevant there. There's only two types of people. There's the seed of the Son of Man and there's the seed of the devil. The devil sows his seed and the Lord gives preachers to sow His. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And at the end of the world, there's going to be judgment. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. And notice what it says, this world is his kingdom. We often forget, we think this, we control this world. It's his kingdom. And all things that offend, and them that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So now it's the last question. Who is the Lord of harvest? Well, it's God Almighty. The harvest shall come, and the good seed, that which Christ suffered and died for, shall be made perfect in him and by him. Christ reveals himself to them by the Spirit, allowing them to believe, making them joint heirs with Christ. That's the only way we can be seen with the good fruit and be allowed to be harvested. We have to be joint heirs with Christ, with Christ's work. Christ's work on Calvary. Christ's work as he lived on this earth. That's what we have to be made joint with, because we can't do it in and of ourselves. The tares, on the other hand, shall be seen in and of themselves. They shall have no substitute, no mediator, and no hope, and will be made to pay the price of sin to a just and holy Lord. The wages of sin is death. You will either be seen in Christ as perfect or be seen in your sin. If you have one sin, which we know by nature we cannot just have just one, but if you just had one, that makes you not worthy. You have to be clean. You have to be perfect. And once they pay that price to the holy Lord and seen in themselves, they should be cast into the fire. God's justice shall be served. All of the elect of God rejoice to see that harvest. We're not afraid to see that harvest. We long for that harvest, because the trials and the troubles and the afflictions of this world will be no more. But if we don't have Christ, we will suffer the price of sin. God must be just, but he also is justifier. And to be justifier, he had to send Christ, his only begotten Son, to pay the debt. So in Matthew 9 again, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We must all pray that the Lord will continue to send laborers, the preachers, the faithful men of God, the sent by him with the power of God and the salvation, this word, and make it understanding to our hearts. Let's continue to pray that he continues to keep that in our church, and pray for others so we can continue to hear the proclamation of his word.